Let's have a big Bob Fest welcome for Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Man thinks, 'cause he rules the earth, he can do as he pleases. And if things don't change soon, he will. 'Cause man has invented his doom. The first step was touching the moon. Now there's a woman on my block. She just sits there as night grows still. And she says, who will take away his license to kill? Now they're taking and they're teaching and they're grooming for life. And they set him on a path where he's bound to get ill. Stars, they sell his body like they do use cars. And there's a woman on my block. She just sits there facing the hill. And she says, who's gonna take away his license to kill? Now he's hell-bent for destruction. He's afraid and confused. And his brain been mismanaged with great skill. Yeah, all he believes are his eyes, and his eyes, they just tell him lies. But there's a woman on my block. She just sits there in a cold chill. And she says, who's gonna take away his license to kill? Maybe a noise maker, spirit maker, heartbreaker, bat breaker, leave no stone unturned. You may be an actor in a plot, maybe all that you've got, till your error is clearly learned. Now he worships at an altar by a stagnant pool. And when he sees his reflection, he's fulfilled. Yeah, man is opposed to fair play. He wants it all, he wants it his way. But there's a woman on my block. She just sits there. Night grows still, and she says, who's gonna take away his license to kill?
WMFO, Medford, Massachusetts. My name is Chris Earle. The show is normally time travel. It is Tom Travel today. Here with you till 7 p.m. I'm playing hits, B-sides, live stuff, other rarities. Enjoy.
great man, he knows how to lose.
It's all Tom Petty till 7 p.m. 855-915-9636 if you want to make a request.
CD listeners, we've come to the point in this album where those listening on cassette or records will have to stand up or sit down and turn over the record or tape. In fairness to those listeners, we'll now take a few seconds before we begin side two. Thank you. Here's side two.
Stay on. you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. 20 years ago, I'd have been way too cynical to do this, but I'm 66 now, and I feel you. I thank you for this, and it's a great honor. I've watched the whole show backstage. I'm really at a loss for words. The music has been wonderful, and I thank all these artists for coming. I'd also, like right off the bat, like to thank my band, the Heartbreakers. They're such an important part of all of this. I didn't want to forget them. And I know it's been a long night. I won't talk too long. I want to play you a bit more music. We have some friends we brought with us, and we're going to get to that in just a second. I'm just so beyond honored to be here for Music Cares, for something that does something for musicians. I know people that this has directly affected, and they know how to do it. They don't ask for a lot of paperwork, and the money shows up. And they've helped so many people. And I thank all my friends and the artists that have come. To be here in the presence of so many great American songwriters is amazing. And, you know, Jackson Brown, Don Henley, Lucinda Williams, Randy Newman. We're truly honored. It's been about 2 years since I played with the Heartbreakers. Honestly, I've been producing records the last couple of years, and we got together last week and rehearsed for this thing, and I realized I may actually be in one of the best two or three rock and roll bands there is, you know? I'm so proud of them. I got into rock and roll at age 10. I was collecting records, rock and roll records, not rock. This was rock and roll. The roll designates a swing. There's a swing in the roll. And it's a music that was created by black people, given its name by a white DJ named Alan Freed, who, along with Sam Phillips, in music, they saw it as a conspiracy to get black music on white popular radio. And when Sam found Elvis, he called Alan and said, "We're ready to roll." And the music became popular, and it empowered the youth of America. The government got very nervous, especially the Republicans. They put Elvis in the army. They put Chuck Berry in jail. Things calmed down for a couple years. But it was too late. The music had reached England. And they remembered it. In 1964, the Beatles came. I had my eyes opened, like so many others, and I joined the conspiracy to put black music on the popular white radio. And rock and roll goes on, you know, more like the blues or jazz now. But I'm heartened to see these young bands, the Head and the Heart, Cage the Elephant, the Shelters, they're going to carry this forward. And we have to be there to support them through it, because there ain't nothing like a good rock and roll band, people. And it's here to tell you. Let me kind of fast forward here. You know my story. this is kind of a surreal moment in a surreal life. It's, for some cosmic reason, so many of the artists that I adored came into my world without me calling. They just showed up and we played together and we became friends. And there were so many people. The first one was Roger McGuinn of the Byrds, who was there right away with my first record. And so much has happened to me that I, you know, you wouldn't believe. I'm not going to try to tell it all to you, but I'm thinking right now about one particular thing. I'm just looking out there. I know so many people here. Mo and Olivia are out there. I love Mo. I love Liv. Me and George Harrison and Jeff Lynne one night were at Mo Austin's house. And this was before we were just working on the idea of the Traveling Wilburys. And I had written this song, Free Fall, and done the record and taken it to my label, MCA. And they rejected the record. And that had never happened to me before, you know. I was like, wow, what do I do, you know? And so we forgot about it. And we were at Mo's house and dinner ended and George said, let's get the guitars out and sing a little bit. And we sang and George said, let's do that Free Falling, Tom. Play that. So we had a kind of Wilbury arrangement of it with harmony and we did it. And Lenny Warnaker is sitting there. He said, that's a hit. With two acoustic guitars, you know. And I said, wow, my record company won't put it out. And Mo says, I'll fucking put it out. Well, sorry. But anyway, not supposed to do that. Okay, I was going to tell you, sorry. I'm trying so hard to be good, and I got my wife is here, my daughter Adria. They're all. I'm really on my best behavior tonight, and but I wanted to tell you one little thing. You know, I got into town in 1974, and I was signed by Denny Cordell to Leon Russell's Shelter Records. And Leon brought me over to his house and he said, I want you to just hang around. And he liked the songs I'd done. And if it comes to a thing where we need some words, I need you to be here and I'll pay you for it. And he's gonna pay me, I was gonna be there, right? So the first session, in comes George Harrison and Ringo, Jim Keltner, and they didn't need any words, but those cats were so cool, you know? And I found myself, after the session when we were hanging out, I found myself slipping my sunglasses on, you know? Leon said, what the hell are you doing with the dark glasses, man? I said, I don't know, it feels cool, you know, like Jimmy Keltner, he's got his, he said, wearing sunglasses at night is an honor you earn. Lou Adler had Johnny Rivers and the Mamas and Papas before he put them glasses on. Jack Nicholson made really shitty Boris Karloff movies before he put them glasses on. Well, put my glasses on. But I thank Leon for that advice and I was going to tell you, I was fortunate enough to know the great Johnny Cash, and I loved him since I saw him on the Hootenanny television show in 1962. They filmed in Gainesville, Florida. Well, I actually didn't see him that week. The paper said he was a little loopy and punched a policeman and did not appear that night. And I loved him. I loved all his songs, you know, Hey Porter, Don't Take Your Guns to Town, Big River. You young songwriters, you want to be a songwriter, just listen to Big River about 60 times and you'll write something. But we made an album together, Johnny and the Heartbreakers, and it won the Grammy for Best Country Record of the Year. And without ever being played once on a country record station. But that's all right, because it was actually a rock and roll record. You know, Johnny was pretty rock and roll. And this morning, I was looking through a box, and a card fell out. And it was from John on my 50th birthday. And it said, Happy birthday, you're a good man to ride the river with. And that's all I want to be, good man to ride the river with, and I'm going to keep riding the river. Thank you.
Tom Travel, here with you till 7 p.m. My name's Chris Searle. Thanks for listening.
Nashville, Medford.
Well, you can't turn him into a company man. You can't turn him into a whore. And the boys upstairs just don't understand anymore. Well, the top brass don't like him talking so much. And he won't play what they say to play. And he don't want to change what don't need to change. And there goes the last DJ who plays what he wants to play and says what he wants to say. Hey, hey, hey. And there goes your freedom of choice. There goes the last human voice. And there goes the last DJ. Some things you just can't put in the minds of those kids. As we celebrate mediocrity, all the boys upstairs wanna see how much you'll pay for what you used to get for free. And there goes the last DJ who plays what he wants to play. Says what he wants to say. Hey, hey, hey. And there goes your freedom of choice. And there goes the last human voice. And there goes the last DJ. Sometimes it'll kinda come in, and I'll bust a move and remember how it was back then. And there goes the last DJ who plays what he wants to play and says what he wants to say. Hey, hey, hey. And there goes your freedom of choice. There goes
a southern accent where I come from. The young'uns call it country, the Yankees call it dumb. I got my own way of talking, but everything is done with a southern accent where I come from. Now that drunk tank in Atlanta was just a motel room to me. I think I might go work Orlando if them orange groves don't freeze. I've got my own way of working, but
come on, Johnny. There we go. There we go. Come on. Come on, Johnny. Heartbreakers in the back up there. Backup band. Well, looks like Johnny just gave up. Just like in real life. That's it. Well, that was Southern accent. Kind of pretty. But not when it does that.
With a sun.
What kind of nonsense is this?
Southern accent,
where I come from. Yeah, we gave it a shot. The hell with it. The hell with it. That's what I say. I can do whatever I want. It's my show. This one's for me.
You see, I threw all I had into the sea. Now I want a little back. This one's for me. Lover I found, the mistakes I've made will follow me down into my grave. So much has gone by, so many to please. Well, it's what I keep. This one's for me. Not for anyone else, I needed to see. I threw all I had into the sea. Now I want a little back. This one's for me.
Till it's broken away. Yeah, you don't even know what you had till you left The federal government alone spends $4.5 billion a year locking up people for drug offenses. It costs almost $28,000 a year just to incarcerate one prisoner. Compare that to the average annual tuition at a four-year public college, which is $5,491, and you realize that the drug war is blurring our nation's priorities. Taxpayers' money would be much better spent educating people instead of punishing them. But thanks to ever-increasing mandatory minimum drug sentences, an entire class of young people are being filtered into new supermax prisons while the resulting budget crunch forces the rest of us to go to old, dilapidated schools. The more money we dump into prisons, the less we have to invest in college campuses. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out how you can get involved in the war against the war on drugs.